We continue now with Masechus Beitza, Daf Yudalim and Aleph, 4 lines from the top of the page. The Mishnah is now going to discuss the halachos pertaining to the laws of pounding, of crushing spices and salt on Yom Tov. As we're going to see, it is permissible under certain circumstances to actually go ahead and crush spices and salt. The machlokas in the Mishnah between Rishon and Hillel is regarding how exactly this can be done and what sort of shinoi is required. So it begins the Mishnah, Beishamai Omrim, Tavlin, Nidochin, B'madoch Shal Eitz. Beishamai says that spices can be crushed on Yom Tov with a wooden pestle. Rashi says this instrument is used without any shinoi whatsoever. V'hamelach b'fach. However, when trying to pound, to crush chunks of salt, so they have to be done, it has to be pounded in either a fach, which means an earthenware flask, or with a wooden mixing spoon. Rashi says, clearly there's a difference over here between tavlin, between spices and melach. According to Beishamai, tavlin do not require shinoi, and melach and salt does. The Gemara is going to explain the reason for this difference. Ubeisilalom continues the Mishnah, however, Beisilalom say tavlin nidochen kedarkon. Spices can be crushed in their usual manner, but madok shel evin, even using a stone pestle, it's not necessary to use a wooden one, as Beishamai say. V'hamelach b'madok shel eitz. However, when it comes to salt, so a slight shinoi needs to be used. Namely, it has to be done in a wooden pestle, which is unusual because usually you would use a stone one. But there is no other shinoi that's necessary. It's not necessary to deviate from the normal manner in which this crushing is done. So in the Mishnah we see that there's a machlokas between Beishamai and Hillel as to whether or not a shinoi is needed when crushing tavlin spices on Yom Tov, and what type of shinoi is needed when crushing salt. So the Gemara says, the kuli alma mias melach ba yishinoi. According to everyone, it's very clear that when crushing salt, a shinoi is needed. So says the Gemara, in my time, what is the reason why there seems to be a chumrah by salt that we do not have by tavlin? Because according to Beis Hillel, there is no shinoi that's needed whatsoever when crushing tavlin. According to Beis Shammai, you need a shinoi, but it's not as big of a shinoi. But when it comes to melach, when it comes to salt, everybody agrees that a shinoi is necessary. So what's the reason for this? So says the Gemara, Rav Huna Rav Chizda argued about this point. Chad Amar once said, Kol hakederos kulon trichos melach, that every cooked dish requires salt. V'im kol hakederos trichos tavlin. But not all cooked dishes require, tavlin requires spices. Says Rashi, kol hakederos kol mini tavshil trichos melach, all different types of cooked dishes require salt. Velkof, therefore, mi esmol havi yadadi by le ludocha. Therefore, he certainly knew yesterday, before Yom Tov began, that he was going to have to prepare salt. He was going to have to crush it. However, in kol hakederos trichos tavlin, a person does not necessarily know what dish is going to prepare on Yom Tov. Since not all dishes require tavlin, he can't be expected to have crushed the tavlin before Yom Tov. However, whatever he's going to prepare on Yom Tov, he's going to need salt. So the salt should have been crushed beforehand. So according to either Rav Huna or Rav Chizda, we're not sure, according to one of them, the reason why everybody agrees that salt requires a shinoi is because really he should have crushed it before Yom Tov. The Chayin Amar continues to go on. The other opinion is, Kala tablet mafikin taimon, that all spices, they begin to lose their flavor after it is crushed. As long as it is intact before you crush it, so it retains, it preserves a certain taste. But once you crush it, so at that point on, it continues to lose its flavor with the passage of time. However, when it comes to salt, it doesn't lose its flavor after being crushed. So once again, there's no reason why you could not have crushed the salt before Yom Tov. You wouldn't have lost anything. As opposed to the tavlin, as opposed to the spices, so we understand why a person may not want to crush it before Yom Tov, because it won't be as fresh, it's not going to taste, it's not going to be as potent as it will if he crushes it and serves it fresh on that day. So says the Gemara, my denayu. What's the nafkamina between these two explanations? After all, both Rav Huna and Chizda give a plausible explanation as to why, both according to Beisham and Beis Hillel, a shinoi is necessary when crushing salt. So what is the difference between the two? So says the Gemara, the difference would be the yada mai kadera b'ayla v'shule.
Let's say he knows before Yom Tov exactly what type of dish he wants to cook, he wants to prepare on Yom Tov. So according to the first explanation, when he crushes the spices on Yom Tov, so he has to use a shinui because he knew what he was going to cook the day beforehand. So really, there's no reason why he could not have crushed the spices beforehand. However, according to the other opinion, since he didn't know, he could not have been expected, he should not have been expected necessarily to go ahead and crush the spices beforehand, especially since we see Mefiga Taiman, that it loses its taste with the passage of time. Inami, says the Gemara, another nafkamina would be bimorika. Morika is saffron, which is a special type of spice that does not lose any flavor after it is. So now we would say as follows, that if a person does not know before Yom Tov that he intends to cook on Yom Tov a dish that requires morika, so then according to the first explanation, so he should be able to crush it on Yom Tov without a shinoi whatsoever, because he didn't know that he was going to prepare this dish beforehand. However, according to the second explanation, even if he didn't know, he must use a shinoi. Why? Because he could have done it beforehand anyway, because it does not lose its taste after time. And so therefore, we see that there are at least two practical differences between these two opinions as to why it is that everybody is in agreement that melach, that salt requires a shinoi, but tavlin does not. Continues the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Mashmuel, Kol ha-nidochin nidochin kedarkon, v'afilu melach. The Gemara now records another sheet. Rabbi Yehuda says that anything that is crushed can be crushed in the normal manner, v'afilu melach, and even salt. So says the Gemara, how could that be? After all, v'amis, didn't you just say that everybody in the Mishnah says melach bai shinui? It's machlokas v'chim v'sham v'shilah as to what type of shinui is necessary when it comes to melach. But v'sham v'shilah all agree that there's some shinoi that's necessary. So how can now Rabbi Yehuda say in the name of Shmuel that no shinoi is necessary whatsoever? So says the Gemara, Hu diyamaki haitana. That Shmuel, that's cited over here, is following the position of a different Tana. The Tanya, as we learn in the Brisa of Meir, Lo nechluku v'sham v'shilah al hanidochin shenidochin kedarkan. V'sham v'shilah are not agreeing regarding spices that are crushed in their normal manner, umelach imohen, and salt, in fact, may be crushed together with them. Lo nechluchu ela laducha b'fnei atzma. The only machlokas between Beisham and Hillel, according to the mayor, is crushing it by itself. So Beisham and Yomrim, melach b'fach of Eitzapara. Beisham, I say, that salt, if it's going to be crushed by itself, so as we saw in the Mishnah, it has to be crushed either in a flask or with a wooden mixing spoon, as opposed to the regular stone mortar and pestle, with soli, which means for roasting purposes of a lola kadera, but not for cooking. The difference being that when it comes to salting, when it comes to roasting rather, so only a small amount of salt is necessary, because since it's going to be roasting on an open fire, that's going to draw out the blood. However, when it comes to cooking, so if you want to cook a piece of meat, so it has to be salted beforehand, and lots of salt is necessary. So that's the sheet of Beishamai. Beis Hillel omrim b'chol davar. Beis Hillel say no, that in fact it can be crushed with anything. So says the Gemara, b'chol davar so gadaitach. Do you really think that it can be crushed with anything? Obviously, there are going to be certain types of kelim that are going to be muksa, and you cannot use the crushed spices on Yom Tov. Ella says Gemara le'ema lichol davar. It shouldn't say bichol davar, which implies with any instruments, with any types of kelim you want. Ella ema lichol davar, which means for any purpose, meaning even for cooking. Unlike the Shammai is recorded over here in this price, who say that you can only go ahead and crush the salt for soli for roasting because it's a small amount, but not for cooking. So Basilah says lichol davar. It can be used for any purpose, even cooking. So we see that according to the Tan of this Braisa, according to Remeir in this Braisa, Beis Hillel permit crushing even large quantities of salt in the usual manner on Yom Tov. So Shmuel held, as we saw before, Kol Nidoch, Nidochim Kedarkim, Vafilu Melach, so he held like this understanding of Beis Hillel. Namely, that Beis Hillel in fact says that you can crush salt in large quantities without any shuni whatsoever on Yom Tov. Our version of the Mishnah, the way it appears over here, does not present Beis Hillel in that particular manner, and so therefore, the way our Mishnah reads, come to a different conclusion. According to Beis Hillel, a shinoi is in fact required when crushing salt. Continues the Gemara, Amalei Rav Acha Bar Dula Levrei. Rav Acha Bar Dula said to his son, Ki daichas atzli atzluye v'doch. When you crush salt, so you should lean it on its side and crush it that way. What does that mean? Says Rashi, Hatei hameducha, the mortar should be leaning altzid on its side, the sover kishmuel, because of Rav Acha Bar Dula held like Shmuel, the Omar says, Nidochas Kidarka, that you can go ahead and crush it in a normal manner, but Madoch shall even using a stone mortar. However, Rav Acha Bar Dula says that you have to have some Shinoi. It doesn't have to be a big one. You could use the regular stone mortar, but there has to be some Shinoi. So he says, go ahead and tilt it on its side and crush it that way. So Rav Sheshe Shama Kol Buchna. The Gemara tells a story that Rav Sheshe once heard the sound of a buchna, of a stone pestle, which was crushing salt, meaning in the normal manner on Yom Tov. And Omar, he said, Hai lav migave de beisoyu. Obviously, this particular sound is not coming from my own house. It says Rashi, I know that this cannot be coming from my house, because I have forbidden the members of my household from crushing salt in the normal manner on Yom Tov. So the fact that I can hear, I can discern from the noise that I'm hearing, that whoever is crushing the salt is doing it in the normal manner, using no shinui whatsoever. So obviously I know that it's not coming from my house. So it says the Gemara of Dilma Atzluye Atzle. Maybe they were using the normal instruments, the stone mortar, but it was leaning on its side, just as Rav Acha Bar Dula instructed his son that when you go ahead and you crush salt, so you should lean it on its side. In other words, you should use this slight shinoi. And so how did Rav Sheshes know that this noise was not coming from his house? After all, if they were using it with the slight shinoi, he would not have been able to discern the difference when he was listening to it. So says the Gemara, yes, he would have been the shame the havit solul kali, because Rav Sheshes was able to hear that the sound was very clear. So he knew, based on the sound that he was listening to, that it was not leaning on the side. If it was leaning on the side, so it would produce a different sound, and he was able to tell that it was being done in a manner in which there was no shinoi that was being used. So says the Gemara further, v'dilma kavlin havel. Yeah, but maybe whoever was crushing with this mortar in the normal manner was not crushing salt. Maybe they were crushing kavlin, which we learned may in fact be crushed on Yom Tov. It's only when it comes to kavlin, when it comes to malach, when it comes to salt, that a shinoi is necessary. However, when it comes to spices, it's not necessary. So says the Gemara, kavlin nabuchim inabeach chalayu. When it comes to spices, there's a very loud sound that is produced when they are crushed, when they are pounded. And Rav Sheshes was able to hear that the sound that was being produced by this was not as loud. And so therefore, he knew that it was salt and it was not tavlin, it was not spices. The Gemara now continues the discussion of crushing. Now we're going to talk about crushing wheat kernels. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, Ein Osin Tisni, Ve'ein Koshin V'machteshas. Then on Yom Tov, you cannot make Tisni. Says Rashi, Tisni V'Yom Tov, Shetarach Gadalhu. This is called making grits, when you go ahead and you take wheat kernels and crush them so that they are split into four. They're split into quarters. So Rashi says over here that this is something that requires a tarach gadol, an excessive effort, and so therefore it is prohibited on Yom Tov. Ve'en koshin b'machteshas, which means that you cannot crush in a mortar. So says the Gemara, Tarti, are both of these halachos true? Are both of these rulings true? After all, they really are contradictory. Says Rashi, Tarti, Shnei Devarim Yeshkan, there are two different rulings here, Lo Zeh Dom Lo Zeh, but they are not really comparable. Katani, it says, Ein Osen Tisni, it says you cannot make Tisni, you cannot go ahead and make grits, Hachal Kovadai Seshapir. But this seems to imply that it would be permissible to go ahead and crush wheat, but just not in such an excessive manner. The Ein Tircha Meruba. The Hadar Dhani, but then it says, Ein Koshin Klal, that you cannot go ahead and crush wheat at all. So which one is it? So says the Gemara, Hachi Kamar. Ma Tam Ein Osin Tisni. Says the Gemara, no. Why is it that you cannot make Tisni on Yom Tov? Lefisha Ein Koshin Machteshas. Because you cannot go ahead and crush in a mortar. In other words, the Brice is really only teaching one din. The second statement, the Ein Kosher Mafteshes, is a reason as to why it is that you cannot make tisni, because there's no other way to make it unless you use a Mafteshes, a mortar. Says the Gemara of Alema, Ein Kosher Mafteshes. But if that's so, then it should say, Ein Kosher Mafteshes. All it has to say in the Mishnah, in the Brice rather, is you cannot crush with a mortar. And the Mela would be able to derive on my own, I'd be able to infer from there that I cannot make tisni, because that's the only way to make tisni. But why does the Brice have to say, Ein Osa Tisni, why Lafisha Ein Kosher Mafteshes? Just tell me that I can't use a mortar, that's all I need to know. So says the Gemara, Yitani Ein Kosher Mafteshes. Had the Brice said that you cannot use a Mafteshes, a mortar, in order to crush wheat, Havamina, I would have thought, Hani Mila Mafteshes Gedola, that this is only true when it comes to a Mafteshes Gedola, a large mortar. Above a Mafteshes Katana, however, if using a small one, Ema Shapir Dami, perhaps I would say that it's permissible. Kamash Malan comes along the Brice, therefore, and says that you may not crush wheat kernels on Yomtif in any type of Mafteshes, even a small one. But says the Gemara, how could you say this? After all, the Hatanya, we learned in a different Brice, Ein Koshin Mafteshes Gedola, Ava Koshin Mafteshes Katana. We learn in another Brice that, in fact, you can go ahead and crush with a small mortar. So this obviously contradicts the first explanation that we found in the Brisa that says you cannot crush even using Mafteshes Katana, even a small mortar. So Amar Abaye says no. Kitanya nabi masnisa Mafteshes Gedola Tanya. That even what? The first Brisa that says you cannot go ahead and crush in a mortar on Yavdif, that was talking about a Mafteshes Gedola. That was talking about a large mortar. However, tisni may not be made even in a small mortar. Says Rashi, the last Rashi on the page, Kitanya Nami Masis and Diliel, the Brice which we saw earlier, the Mahteshes Gedola Tanya, was talking about a Mahteshes Gedola, a large mortar. The Lotema Matan Kamer, and don't say as we had been saying that it's coming as an explanation, rather as we originally thought, Elatarti Kitani, really throughout Yusep Adinim, Vahachi Kamer. Ain osin tisni klau, afila b'ktana. On Yomtif, you cannot make tisni at all, even if you use a small one. The ain koshin shar kisishos b'machteshes, and you should not crush other types of kisishos in the machteshes, kigon daisa, other things which are not tisni, ustam machteshes b'gedolo kamayri. And that's talking about a stam machteshes, a regular machteshes, which is a what? A gedolo. So Abaye basically says that tisni, you can't make at all, even if you're using a Mahteshes Katana. A Mahteshes Gedola, you cannot use at all, even for other types of kisishos, which would be permissible in a Mahteshes Katana. That's Abaye. Rava Omar, says the Gemara on the top of the next Amud, Lo Kasha, there's no contradiction between the two Brisos. Hold on, Vaholahu. The difference is, one is talking about literally Lun, us, and one is them. Lon, those are living in Bavel. V'halahu, those are living in Eretz Yisrael. Says Rashi, Halon, the leslan avdim in the zazali. Here in Bavel, we do not have avadim servants who would possibly be mezalzel. V'halahu, the islay avdi the mezalzali. They have servants who work for them in Eretz Yisrael who would possibly be mezalzel. What would they do? V'osim b'gdola, they would go ahead and crush using a machteshes gedola, a large mortar. And they would say, they would say that they used a smaller mortar. And so therefore, says Rava, the Brises are talking about two different places. That when we're dealing in Bavel, it's permissible to go ahead and use a small mortar, because there's no concern of zilzul that would be done through the Avadim. However, the first Brisa, which says that even using a small mortar, that's prohibited, so that applies to those living in Eretz Yisrael, where we're concerned about zilzul that will come about through the Avodim. The Gemara now continues with a Maisa story involving grain that was crushed on Yom Tov. Rav Papi Iklaliv Mei Mar Shmuel. Rav Papi once visited the home of Mar Shmuel on Yom Tov. Aisi Le Daisa. So they went ahead and they brought him Daisa V'lo Achal. And he did not eat it because the grain had been crushed on Yom Tov in a mortar. And Rav Papi held that it was prohibited to go ahead and to prepare the daisa in this way. Says the Gemara, V'dilma machteshes ketana avdua.
But why did he go ahead and refuse to eat it? After all, maybe they use a small mortar, which we already saw is permissible. Says the Gemara, the Chazi da Habidai Tvei, because her puppy saw that the grain had been crushed very finely, so obviously it must have been crushed in a very large mortar, because you would not be able to do that in a small one. Says the Gemara, Vidilma mi Yasmal Avdua, but maybe it was done yesterday. Says the Gemara, the Chazi da Habidai Kolif Tziare, where Papa saw that the kernel's appearance was still white. It looked white, which means it had just recently been peeled and crushed, and so therefore he knew that it was not from the day beforehand. Vibayisema, says the Gemara, if you want to give another answer, Shiny Bay Bar Shmuel, the Ika Pitzus of the Avde. The home of Bar Shmuel is different because of the Pritzos of the Avadim. In general, there was an impression that the servants were not, particularly when it came to halacha, they were not very astute, very careful when it came to halacha. So here as well, we're concerned that they would have used a machteshes gedola, a large mortar, when grinding the wheat. And so therefore, since this is prohibited, he did not want to permit it because of the pritzos of the avodim in Beimar Shmuel.